listening to Clifford Kelly on Straight Truth Radio, the podcast.
Be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Straight Truth Radio Podcast, the place where we live the truth and do us forever. I am your host, Cliff Kelly, and we want to thank you again for tuning in here where we're just trying to bring end time events, understanding to end time events. We're going to jump right into this episode, which we're calling tonight, Do You Have What Christ Is Looking For? So when we look at this subject, you know, many people will ask the question, oh, well, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, he said he's coming back for a church without a spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. And that is true. Follow peace and holiness with all men, without which none shall see the Lord. That's true. And there's many other verses of scripture and Christian thoughts that we can bring to the argument and to the table. And I won't sit here and argue whether that's true or not. But we are told specifically in Scripture, there's one thing that Christ is looking for when he comes back to earth. So watch this. When we go to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, and I'll read the verse here. I don't have to paraphrase this because we want to talk about this for a few minutes, and then we're going to let you go. It's not going to be a long podcast, we don't think, tonight. We just want to say a few things. So we see here in chapter 18, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Watch this. What is the purpose of this parable? That man should always pray and make sure you understand this and not faint. Because in the last days, we will find out, and this is a matter of which we've talked about on this platform all the time, that the Antichrist is soon to come. We are living in this dispensation and at the end of the time of this dispensation where the Antichrist is almost ready to appear. We already know that he's in existence, but we don't know who he is yet. If you were to ask me, hey, who do you think the Antichrist is? I got a list of a top 10, actually top five. I think I can whittle it down to top three. But let me say this. None of them are on this continent. That's the one thing. The one thing that you'll always find is, you know, when you ask people, oh, this president, they the Antichrist, or that one is the Antichrist, this one is the Antichrist. It's always somebody that they don't like is the Antichrist. So it shows you how much Bible knowledge that they actually have, that you can attribute a stigma. And if you really knew what you was talking about, you wouldn't want to put that on anybody. But yet, we'll do dumb stuff like that because of our we show how much illiterate we are to the totality of Scripture and what the Bible is actually trying to show us, all these things that have been written. But at any rate, this parable was given to us so that we know that the objective was that men are always to pray and not to faint. Don't let anything cause you to faint. Because, well, again, when Antichrist comes, the Bible tells us that he came against the saints to wear out the saints. But we'll find this out here in just a few days, in a few years, at the time of this revealing. But let's go into the parable here. There was in a city a judge which feared not man, and this is Luke chapter 18. Which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of my adversaries." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, she kept continually coming back to him and demanding that her rights be given to her. And she would not stop." So he says, "I will avenge her unless by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" And here's the target. Verse 8. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And so, again, we're looking at in this episode, do we have what Christ is looking for? We know that everyone has been given a measure of faith. We're told in Scripture also to stir up the gift that's within you, you know. And so, so everyone has been given a measure. But there are those who have developed that instrument, that muscle that we're calling faith, to the point where you see great wonders and great things happening. And there are those who just, you know, they just, you know, yeah, they're saved and they're just happy and satisfied with just coming to church and enjoying Jesus and shouting and dancing and saying that they had a good time at church. And there are just some who may not even be saved, but they may like coming to church and, you know, Such as it is, you know, church is a social club, and you know, and we do everything socially, and that's about it. And then there are those who they may not go to church at all, but they're pretty good people. They're good people, and you know, and they don't hurt anybody. They haven't done much, you know, anything wrong. They're just good people. And then there are those who are not good at all. They don't regard God, and they don't care anything about the feelings of man. So we have from one extreme to the other those who have, even though God has given every man a measure of faith, we have on this spectrum, this paradigm, this scale of all that this measure of faith has been given to, some who haven't done anything at all and continue to walk on in wickedness. And then those who have developed their faith, and so that they have great faith. And so in that paradigm there of great faith, we can, you know, go to Scripture and find examples of how many times have Christ said, "O ye of little faith," to his disciples, to those who he handpicked. Or he have said, "How was that you had no faith?" Or in one verse where he says, "O ye of little faith." And to the point of where he says, "Oh, I have not found so great faith." So again, the paradigm, because we're looking at the fact that to every man, God has given a measure of faith. And so again, so one day Christ is going to come back. He's going to return for a church that has prepared themselves for him. He said, "I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will, you know, return unto you." He's going to prepare mansions, you know, for us. And he said, you know, "And if it were not so, I would have told you." So we understand that Christ is coming back. But then what is he coming back for? It's not just a a church that, you know, is that that is spotless, you know, without a spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such thing. Although that's what the scripture says, but that church, that body of believers, that person that is looking to go away with the Lord, to him that overcometh, will I grant him to sit with me on my throne as I sit with my Father, you know, on the right hand of his throne. And Jesus says there in Revelations. But when he comes back, he's looking to see where is the faith that was given to every man. What have you done with that measure of faith that has been given to every man, woman, boy, and girl here on this earth? And so as the Lord kind of, you know, stirred me up and had me just kind of looking at certain portions of scripture and everything, and I, this episode, I wasn't real sure what we were going to do, but this was not the thought until, you know, the Lord kind of, you know, stirred me up. So we want to look at what was achieved by faith. So we see here, when we go to the Hall of Fame of faith, and we see certain things that have been achieved by faith. You look at, obviously, we look at Enoch. He said, I'm just pulling out certain examples of those heroes of faith. Enoch. And it says here that he was translated, that he should not even see death, and he was not found, but because God had translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Are we pleasing him today? Are we doing what is pleasing him? Now, I'm trying to do everything I know how. I'm like, but have you asked him, God, are you pleased with me? God, show me me. Instead of showing you everything else, but being discerning about everybody else out there, God, show me me. Am I pleasing you? Have I been pleasing to you? Am I doing the work that you have called me to do? Or am I just marking time? He says, verse 6 here says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. We see Noah, by faith, he warned his generation of what was to come. Think about it. Preaching 120 years, one message for 120 years, 120 years. 120 years, one message, it's going to rain. And he still held on to that word. Yet, no one would hear. He was laughed at. He was scorned. He was talked about. Rejected. And so I ask you, can you handle rejection? Can you handle being talked about? I know I'm talked about all the time. Laughed at, rejected, canceled, deleted, made fun of. Smile in my face when you see me. But I know when I've been talked about. I know, been embarrassed on some hands or whatever. But guess what? We just deal with it because I understand my call. I understand my assignment. I understand that there is something that I must do. And I don't want to hear depart from me. So I'm okay with, you know, with walking alone sometimes. And sometimes you have to be okay with that. You know, I ask God certain questions, Lord, when, you know, and you know, God takes his time in answering those questions. But guess what? We get those glimpses of glory divine, those things that kind of that encourage you to continue in the faith, to continue with this message, because you know that God cannot fail and that God is not a man that he shall lie. His word will not return unto him void. So we believe in what Christ has said because of the things that we've seen Christ do in our lifetime. And so we don't worry about what's being said about us, because we know that God has us. He's protected us. We see his mighty hand working. So we continue with our message, even though sometimes it seems like it's falling on deaf ears. You know, the scripture in Proverbs, is that Ecclesiastic or Proverbs, where it says some of the poor man's words are not heard. You know, his words are despised. And it's not talking about, you know, poor in far as stature or whatever. I mean, poor as far as his economic status or whatever. But in stature, because you're not a mighty man. You're not someone that is looked upon. That person's word is not received. They look at you and decide whether they want to hear your words or not. And that's something sometimes, you know, listen, all men are going to have to answer for the deeds done in their body, good and evil. And so we just want to make sure that we, in everything that we're doing, that we're pleasing him. Number one, that we've heard the message and we heard correctly. And we believe that we have because of the signs that has been given to us and the messages that we have delivered and then seeing the fulfillment of those messages. So we know that we're on track, but we want to see an end result from that. So my faith and confidence in the Lord is strong, super strong. And we just want to see the end result. And so, we continue to pursue on. Because we want, when Christ does come back and to answer that question, do you have what Christ is looking for? We want to be able to say, yes, Lord, we did what you said. Despite everything that was going on, we held on. We did what you said. And it was displeasing to you. So Noah, again, he builds that ark. And his family was saved because of his faith. Not only his faith in God, but his faith in the message. His faith in the message that God gave him. Abraham and the faith that he had. Hoping against hope that he journeyed to a land that he knew not of. He journeyed until God said, okay, plant here. And now, Abraham is known as the father of many nations. He held on to a word, not knowing what was going to happen, but he held on. We look at Isaac and Jacob, them being heirs of the same promise. You continue to look, throughout the book, throughout this book of the heroes of faith. But there's my eyes were fixed on, and I'm trying to find here here we go. By faith, let's go here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After, that's verse 30 in chapter 11. The walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So you remember when they marched around the Jericho wall, given strict assignments as what they were to do. And then and then those walls actually came down. But then not only that, Rahab. Remember Rahab, the harlot Rahab, by faith. She was included in the family of God because of that saving faith and because of her hospitality to those spies who came in to peep out Jericho. And this is where the Lord kind of, you know, had me settle in these guys here. Verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah. Jephthah is a character that really speaks to me. To continue on, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant and turned to flight to armies of the aliens. And so now we see that these mighty men, and let's not leave out the women. Let's not leave out women. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had the trial of cruel mockings and scorchings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Let me ask you, if you had a gun or something pointed to your head, or you were threatened that this next moment, that this would be your last breath if you did not denounce Christ, what would you value more? What would you value more? Because see, it's easy for us to just jump up and shout and say I'm saved and say I'm a Christian. But if you were living in the third world countries that had to denounce Christ, or it was your life, it was your head, what would you actually do? You see, I think that is something that we take for granted, I mean, times 100. Because we have the freedom of this faith and religion. And we're at a point now where we are sure our faith is being challenged, because there are certain things in Scripture. I mean, just look at it. Watch this. Look at the small challenges that you and I have to deal with and face. You know, the Christian faith is always talked about. You don't talk about Islam. You don't talk about Buddha and everybody else. You don't mess with them. But you can always shoot down the Christian or the Jew and not worry about any repercussions whatsoever. And so what do you do to defend your faith, to defend the faith and the standard? You know the word of God that we have that we have to live by, and there's certain things and certain events. You know, we see in church now all the things that are happening in church, and just for clickbait sake, you know, you're pouring just for the views and clicks, syrup on the Bible. someone using the Bible as a football, kicking it for a field goal. What point are you actually trying to make? And this is in the church. So how is God being disrespected outside of the church? And many other examples we can go into. But how is God being disrespected? If he's being disrespected like that in the church, how is he being disrespected outside of the church? But if a gun was pointed to your head to denounce Christ, to denounce I don't know what else to say. I'm just going to, we're talking about faith, to denounce the faith. Could you do it just so you could live another, couple years or whatever? And who knows? Tomorrow's not promised to you anyway. Life is a vapor. And so to sit here and to really look at the fact of where we are in our Christian walk and what is happening in these days. We go to Matthew 24 all the time, and we see the events that are happening there, the false prophets that Jesus prophesied about, the wars and rumors of wars that Jesus prophesied about, the Jews, when their temple is built, and then the prophecy prophesied by Daniel, the prophet, and what happens when they're sacrificing again, and then which is coming up, I'm telling you, it's coming up soon. The church will be here for that. Will you be able to take defending the faith when these things happen? When the Christian faith, if this light affliction that we're going through right now, where you have to take a stance on as to where the church is on the same sex agenda. What's your stance on that? Being in the faith, can you defend your faith and defend it whether you're being heavily scrutinized or not? And so when we look at everything that we are going through, and this is just a light affliction, but everything that we're going through, if Christ were to come right now for you, can you say that Christ will be pleased with what he's found in you? Can you really say that? And so that's something that we need to take a look at and focus on and really get down to the bare nitty gritty. Fact of the matter of is the last thing that anyone should want to hear, especially in the church, I'm talking about in the church, is depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Because remember, Ezekiel 18 tells us that if you continue in sin, if you you walk the walk, or you have the lifestyle of iniquity, you walk the walk, the lifestyle of a sinner, even though you were saved, you are now doing what the sinner is doing. What you did, what the righteous things that you did, won't even be spoken of. God's not going to remember the fact that you were saved and you went back out here wilding out again. But those who were wilding out at one point in time and then repent and then walk in righteousness, their filthy rags or their sin has been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore. And now he can say to you, I receive you unto myself. And so the thing that I want to hear is, thou good and faithful servant. I think that's something we all should want to hear. And so I won't, we won't belabor the hour, but the question is, do you have what Christ is looking for? Remember, Christ has given to every man a measure of faith. And so it's up to you and I to work that faith out with fear and trembling, and to stand for those things that are right, to stand for righteousness. And so this is the Straight Truth Radio podcast. Again, I'm Cliff Kelly, the host of the Straight Truth Radio podcast. I want to thank you again for tuning in. Here we're just trying to bring an understanding to end time events. Remember, hold on to him that is able to keep you from failing and from falling. Know that we are not sinless, but we sin less because of him who became sin for us. Tune in again next week for another episode here at the Straight Truth Radio podcast. Again, the place where the lip of truth endures forever. I'm your host, Cliff Kelly. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. God bless you all.